Quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores. Sleep Number does that. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Gaza's Al-Shifa Hospital is under siege again. The Ministry of Health in Gaza says Israeli snipers and military helicopters opened fire on the facility earlier this week without regard for patients or the medical staff inside. Israel claims the complex is being used by terrorists, but remember, there are roughly 3,000 people sheltering there. They wanted to get away from the gunfire. Now, they're right in the middle of it. Like we said so many times before on the show, there is no safe place in Gaza right now, not even hospitals. So imagine the fear of living in that situation. Then imagine the fear of walking into that reality with fresh eyes.
They're about to throw them into a place where they know they won't be able to get the care that they may need.
Today, as another round of ceasefire talks continue, why some Palestinian hospital patients in East Jerusalem are being sent back to Gaza. From CNN, this is Tug of War. I'm David Rind. CNN's Jeremy Diamond is back with us. He's in Jerusalem. And Jeremy, you can stop me if you've heard this before, but as we sit here on Tuesday, negotiators are back at the table for another round of ceasefire talks. We'll see what happens there. But I wanted to start by asking you about this pretty wild back and forth between Senator Chuck Schumer and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. What has been the reaction in Israel to Schumer calling for new elections like he did last week?
Well, there's no question that the Israeli prime minister himself is pretty pissed off about this. And I think that's kind of just the best way to describe it. You know, he has been on the defensive in the wake of an increasing amount of criticism from the White House itself. And then I think that this speech by Senator Chuck Schumer calling for new elections in Israel really sent the Israeli prime minister over the top on this.
Here with me now is Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Thank you so much for joining me. Let's start with...
And, you know, what the result has been is we've seen him give an increasingly large number of interviews to American media, English language statements, including an interview over the weekend with our Dana Bash.
What's your response?
I think what he said is totally inappropriate. It's inappropriate for... to go to a sister democracy and try to replace the elected leadership there. That's something that Israel, the Israeli public, does on its own.
Saying that Israel is not a banana republic and that the U.S. shouldn't be intervening in Israeli politics.
Will you commit to new elections when
I think that's something for the Israeli public to decide. But it's not something... No, it's look, that's something for the Israeli people to decide. I think it's ridiculous to talk about it. It's
like what's also interesting is that Benny Gantz, a member of the War Cabinet, who is Netanyahu's chief political rival, he also called this incorrect and unacceptable, referring to Schumer's speech, calling Schumer a friend of Israel, but saying that he made a mistake here. So in the wake of all of that, the Israeli prime minister and President Biden actually spoke on the phone on Monday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the substance of the call was important, but what was also important was the fact that clearly this was an opportunity for them to air their disagreements with each other. Now, in terms of whether or not Netanyahu was listening to any of the criticism, at a minimum, you know, he did agree to send a delegation to Washington to discuss alternatives for going after Hamas in Rafah, which, of course, has been one of the key points of tension between the two sides.
Yeah, there's been a lot of concern about that. And Netanyahu actually approved a plan for that operation, but has anybody else outside of Israel actually seen it?
No, the United States says that they still haven't seen a plan. Presumably that would be discussed when this Israeli delegation heads to Washington at the end of this week or at the beginning of next week. But the United States has made clear that, you know, not ensuring the safety of civilians in Rafah, not creating a feasible, acceptable plan for them to not only leave, but also in terms of acceptable accommodations for them when they leave Rafah, where they are displaced to. The U.S. has indicated that that is somewhat of a red line, although they've been fuzzy on exactly where that red line is.
Yeah.
You know, President Biden himself has indicated that, you know, it would be a major problem for him, but he also said that he wouldn't cut off support for Israel entirely. Mm. So the bottom line, though, is that people in Rafah are certainly scared, as are a group of Palestinians who I spoke with who are set to return to Gaza this week.
More with Jeremy in just a bit. This is Tug of War, and I'm speaking with CNN's Jeremy Diamond. So, Jeremy, you've been looking into a group of Palestinians who are currently in East Jerusalem, but who are about to be sent back into Gaza. Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, well, let me give you a little bit of background first, because before October 7th, there were a number of people in Gaza who were able to get permission from the Israeli government to travel to Jerusalem, in this case, to Palestinian hospitals in occupied East Jerusalem, in order to get treatment. Mm. And so there are dozens of those patients currently in two of those Palestinian hospitals in East Jerusalem. Some of them are cancer patients who came here for cancer treatments. Others had high-risk pregnancies. And I actually met with a number of these individuals, some of the cancer patients, as well as some of these mothers who have now given birth to babies who are about 6 months old, just a little bit older than the war itself. But this week, the Israeli government is going to be bussing them back across the border into Gaza, even though the war is very much still ongoing. I want to tell you about a couple of these mothers. I spoke with one mother, Nima, and her baby, Sarah, who is 6 months old. She was born 2 days before the war. All she has known so far in life is the safety of that hospital room.
Right.
And now her new reality is about to become war-torn Gaza. And Nima was extremely frightened, extremely concerned about what she will find in Gaza. She started breaking down in tears as she talked about what will happen if the Israeli military goes into Rafah, which is where she is about to go once she crosses through Kerem Shalom into Gaza. How will she get diapers and milk? She raised fears about the diseases and the infections that she may find in Gaza as well.
You might go back tomorrow or this week. How do you feel?
Another mother, Hanan, who has twins, you know, she's about to be dropped off through the Kerem Shalom crossing with no support on the other side. Her husband is in northern Gaza, and she was on the phone. She was still trying to find a place for where she would live, even a tent that she could live in southern Gaza. So just enormous amounts of concern and fear and anxiety, not only for themselves, but in particular, of course, for their newborn babies.
It really strikes me that in Gaza right now, hospitals are not a guaranteed safe place. But for these people, they're in a safe hospital. And they're like, this is all I've known since the war broke out. And now I'm going back into this really chaotic, uncertain situation.
Yeah. And in particular, for the mothers of the newborns are afraid for themselves. But of course, they're afraid for their babies before anything else. And then there are these cancer patients, like one man who I met, Mohammed, who, you know, he's in remission now, but he will certainly need follow-ups. And he's afraid that he will need additional treatments once he gets to Gaza and that he won't be able to do so. And that was one of the top concerns of some of the doctors I spoke to, who felt like they have a duty of care and they've been able to give the care to these patients over the course of these last several months. And now they're about to throw them into a place where they know they won't be able to get the care that they may need.
And so with all that said, why is this happening? Like, they're really kind of medically vulnerable at this point, right?
Well, the Israeli government has tried multiple times to send some of these patients back to Gaza. They've been speaking with the directors of these hospitals. And I spoke with one of them, Dr. Fadi Atrash, who is the head of Augusta Victoria Hospital in East Jerusalem.
Is there any hope for stopping this tomorrow? Stopping this from happening?
I don't know. I don't think so.
And he told us that after weeks of rebuffing Israeli requests, he was basically ordered over the course of the last week to compile a list of the patients who have completed their treatment and who will, as a result, be sent back to Gaza.
My biggest concern is all the treatment that we have been giving, all the support, all the efforts that we have been putting to try to cure them or to put them in a good condition or to improve their quality of life will be lost because there is no care in Gaza. There is no hospitals. There is no health care. The system is totally destroyed. If you are saying that.
I saw a comment from COGAT, which is the Israeli agency responsible for coordinating humanitarian aid and also civilian affairs with the Palestinian territories. They confirmed to me that Palestinians from Gaza who are, quote, not in need of further medical care are being sent back to Gaza. And they also said that they would coordinate their return to Gaza with international aid organizations, although we haven't seen any evidence of that so far. They also said that in cases where there is a need for further medical treatment, COGAT arranges their stay with the hospitals to safeguard their health. Now, I also think it's important to note that for a lot of these patients and former patients and their loved ones who are here with them, they are terrified of going back, but they're also very much torn. Mm. Every single one of them who I spoke to talked about the difficulty of the last 5.5 months of watching the war in Gaza from afar. And one of the mothers, actually, Asma, she wants to go back. She was very adamant about this. And one of the reasons is that while she just gave birth here in Jerusalem, she has another daughter in Gaza. And she said to me, you know, she needs me. She said, every time she speaks to me, she asks when I'm coming back. Every time there's an airstrike, children go to hug their mothers, and mine has no one to hug. And that's her motivation at the end of the day for wanting to go back, despite what she will find on the other side.
It's really powerful reporting. Thank you, Jeremy.
Thanks so much, David.
Tug of War is a production of CNN Audio. This episode was produced by Paolo Ortiz and me, David Rind. Our senior producer is Haley Thomas. Dan DeZula is our technical director, and Steve Lichtai is the executive producer of CNN Audio. We get support from Alex Manisseri, Robert Mathers, John Dionora, Lenny Steinhardt, Jamis Andres, Nicole Pesaru, and Lisa Namorow. Special thanks to Caroline Patterson, Mick Craver, and Katie Hinman. We'll be back on Friday with another episode. I will talk to you then.
Quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores. Sleep Number does that. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.